Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host, and I'm here with Chuck McHenry. Why don't you give yourself an introduction to these folks? Let them know why they should trust you as an expert in your industry, and let them know what that industry is.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy, I actually have a marketing background, and I started in 2004. I created my first web business, and that was medical supplies and medical equipment. And I did that for about a year and a half or so, 2 years. And when I went to create the website, it was back then it didn't have a lot of resources, and so I was limited on budget. So I spent all my money in creating this, what I thought at the time was an awesome website. And once I launched, I was very naive. Once I launched, I was like, all right, where are all the sales at? You know, I thought the internet was like going to flood in with all these orders. And then I learned, oh man, you got to learn the marketing side of things. And I was like, crap, I didn't save any money for the marketing side. So that forced me to learn SEO myself. And so I spent like the next year, just like probably especially like that first like 6 months, just every minute I had, I was just reading everything I could about SEO and learning. I was on the forums because, you know, back then we didn't really have, I don't think we even had Twitter back then. So we were on these forums all the time, Digital Point forums and SEO Guy forums. And, you know, I was trying to learn as much as I can on how to rank a website and get traffic, because I said, spent all this money designing and creating and buying product and, you know, spending all this on this new company I started, but I had no marketing. So it took me a while, got it going. Eventually, you know, the first thing that popped up was Yahoo was ranking really well in Yahoo for medical supplies and medical equipment. And then a lot of little subcategories. And that was pretty good because it started bringing in some good sales. And then eventually started ranking in Google as well. Along the way of that journey, I found that there was other ways to make money online. And back then, there wasn't a lot of SEO companies. There were some, for sure. There wasn't a lot. Like nowadays, I mean, there's probably, gosh, probably 100x, you know, than what there was back in 2004, 2005. You know? So, you know, right away, there was people like, wow, help me with, you know, my website, help me with my company. So I started doing that. And I was helping a lot of local businesses out in the Palm Springs area. And then, you know, like I said, I was like, at some point I was like, you know, we were doing okay with medical supplies, medical equipment, but it was a little bit easier. And I actually enjoyed doing the SEO a little bit better. So we ended up selling the medical supply company, and actually to a company who was in Tennessee somewhere. You know, obviously that was years ago and it's gone now, but so I focused online on SEO, and actually we owned a web directory for a while that was pretty popular at the time, because during that time frame, web directories were kind of the thing. That's where most companies would go and get their backlinks from, was web directories. Yep. So at one point we had a PR8. I don't know if anyone remembers the PR, the PRs. I had a PR8 web directory. People were just, you know, dropping cash to get listed in my web directory, which was nice. And then I'd have my own SEO clients and, you know, did that for a long time. And then along the way, we kind of changed the name of the SEO agency, took on a little bit more clients that weren't as local, but just more in the US. We did have some that were international. I didn't really love working with the international clients though, with the time frame differences, and sometimes the expectations were different too. Just, I think it was still early in SEO and marketing, and you know, some of the expectations were a little bit different for what they wanted to do. And I didn't really focus on paid advertising, mostly just, you know, search engine optimization. That was my niche. I loved, you know, on page SEO, audits, link building. Did that for a long time. Along the way, of course, you know, like many SEOs, you have your own sites. We dabbled in affiliate marketing for a long time. Did well in the payday loan space, and that was kind of nice. And then, boy, we had probably all of our eggs in too big of a basket, where our agency, we probably were about 60% one client, and this client had a huge portfolio of domains, and I'm talking some of the best domains that you would think of, and I don't really want to say their names, but some of them were, and this was at the time, 10 years ago, were seven-figure domain names, and we helped develop those websites and do the SEO for them. And anyway, it was a great client for years, and then one day sold a lot of his portfolio, so overnight, basically lost 60% of our income overnight. So that was kind of difficult. Yeah. So at the time, I was like, I needed to supplement my income a little bit. So there was this HVAC company, plumbing company that was looking for somebody to handle their marketing, but they wanted more of an in-house position. So I went and did that with them for a little bit. And after I was there for like 6 months, they were like, we want you to run the company. I was like, oh, I didn't want to do that, but I was like, okay, they made it worth my while. And so I spent about 6, 7 years running their company. And so I was the general manager. I did more than, just marketing. Oversaw the technicians, oversaw the plumbing manager, the HVAC manager, and whatnot. So I did that for a while. And then along the way, I definitely liked the home service industry, and so we started our own service business, home service business, and it was just air duct cleaning, dryer vent cleaning, and a little bit of pressure washing, but mostly air duct cleaning was like the main part of our business. So I had, I had a few SEO clients still. I was the general manager of a plumbing and HVAC company, and we started our own company as well. We happened to find it took a couple employees to go through, but we happened to find a really great employee that was able to, he was very self-sufficient, handled most of the jobs by himself. If there was bigger jobs, we'd give him a helper. So I was really hands-off and just kind of, overseeing the operation where I wasn't working in it in a day and day. So we had that for a while. And then I always knew I wanted to do a little something bigger. And so we got into the plumbing industry. And that was just about a year ago. And so I did that for a while. But, this past year, plumbing's been really challenging in Southern California. So, after having that business for just about 10 months, it we made a good decision for us to sell it. And so we sold that portion of our business, and now we're just focusing on the pressure washing and window cleaning. I do love the home service industry, and so that's what we're doing. I want to be a little bit more hands-on this time too. I actually like playing. I call it playing, but I love working with the pressure washer. It's kind of fun. You're out there, and who doesn't like grabbing the hose and squirting things down, right? It's kind of fun.
There's an ASMR of like videos of just people power washing things and like
Yep.
TikToks. There's a whole like thread. It's like the people that just crinkle paper for YouTube channels, but it's like people like things to be really clean and like watching the process. I follow. I had a conversation with a guy that does stump grinding, and he just does these sped up videos of him just cleaning out a stump with this gigantic machine. And I think there's something attractive about that hybrid role of like SEO marketing and like a hands-on like specific service, like
Yeah.
a home service. There's something about that combination that that seems kind of satisfactory. I'm curious about I know what was the name of the brand of the power washing company that you just spun off, and kind of what's your matrix of experience and approach of like what are you seeing in the past 2 years when it comes to strategy, when it comes to SEO, when it comes to like process to bolster like specific services? Like what are you doing for a specific service that you're doing, and how does that match up to what you're doing in the marketing side of things?
Yeah, so the name of the company that we spun off is Gecko Power Wash. And, basically, I noticed that, especially in like the, and you mentioned stump grinding, and I noticed that there's a lot of home service businesses that are starting to pop up in different niches now. Like there wasn't a lot of stump grinders, a couple years ago. You had some, but now there seems to be more popping up and line striping parking lots, and a lot more in the pressure washing businesses. Especially, I'm in Southern California, but especially in like Florida area, it's crazy how many pressure washing companies are popping up now and whatnot. But a lot of it is it's kind of interesting. It's kind of like how we used to joke a lot, like your fashion, it's going to come back in style. Like everyone has these looks, and oh, hold on to those clothes, it's going to be back in style. Well, kind of the same thing's happening in the SEO industry, in the marketing industry, especially for local SEO, where everyone's getting back to kind of like the basics now, because that's what's working in the industry. And I noticed that stuff that we were doing, like the basic stuff that we were doing, that some people got away from, but it's all the basics. When you're creating the websites, the location pages are huge nowadays. I've noticed, especially now, for a more competitive market like HVAC, it's great to have those location pages. You don't want to go too crazy with them, but maybe it's 15 or 20 of the nearby cities that you have, and you're creating these location pages with great SEO on there, using the just the basic stuff, the title tags, and maybe you're sprinkling in a keyword here or there, you're not overdoing it. But those location pages are hugely important because it's giving Google a signal saying, oh, you actually do work in this city. And without those location pages, your advertising is not going to show up in those cities as much, which is crazy. So if you look at like some of the LSA and some of the companies that really dominate, they're the ones that have all these city pages. And the ones that don't have the city pages, sure, they're coming up like maybe in a city that are close by, but the ones that have the proper city pages, man, they're dominating really well on the LSA, which, so one hand is feeding the other. A lot of people think, oh, the on-page SEO is just for on-page SEO. No, I mean, it, for local showing up in the results, but it actually influences the paid advertising as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more hybridization in this generation. I remember when we moved away from, and Google pushed us, and they said, hey, but location pages are doorway pages, and they're not really offering anything unique. And we're like, okay, I guess. And so we kind of had to evolve this, okay, well, I guess we'll do a huge content umbrella of all things. And so everybody started writing their own versions of, what is power washing? Like, how many articles from how many different SEO agencies had their own version of what is power washing? But now with what I'm seeing, it's what is old is new, because the LLM based playbook, it kind of requ what it needs, what it gathers from your site when it crawls, is not, it already knows what power washing is. It what it's absorbing or trying to take from your site or crawl from your site is what is it you do specifically, where and why is it, like, what's your USP? Which, when it comes down to it, like, that's marketing. Like,
Yeah.
if laying out your unique selling proposition is what a website should do. And so it's like, we also, somehow, like, there's so many websites that just fail to outline how this process works. Like, I wanted to get gravel for my driveway, and like, there was none of the gravel bros that I looked up had anything about, like, okay, like, do you deliver? Does it get spread out automatically? Do you spread it out? Like, it does it come in one load? Is there a specific amount? Are there different types of gravel? And it was like, none of that was on their site. It was just like a phone number, pictures of gravel, and like an article about how gravel improves your home value. I'm like, okay, but how do you deliver it? Like, so that's, and you talk to local service owners, and that's usually the gap too, of like, The people that are running around too much doing the thing and not remembering to update or manage their site, like you would save so much time on the phone tell explaining your business again and again if you just put proper information on your site describing your process. You know, like, hey, you call, we spec out the location, you can send us an address, we look at it from Google Maps, we give you a quote, we come out with the washer, we spray it from top to stern, and you know, like, actually just say what you do here, right?
Yeah, instead of having five different articles in your site that explains what gravel is and why it's important for your driveway. I mean, that's kind of what the old school, SEO was doing for a while. But yeah, absolutely. User experience, man, is just making sure that, when somebody comes to your website, they're getting a good sense of what you're going to do for them in detail. I think that's absolutely huge. And I notice in when it comes to marketing, there's a lot of companies that are just so far behind, like what they could be doing. And, a good example is, that three pack, the local three pack. A lot of times there's companies that could be ranking for so much more, but they're not even listing their full services on their website. They're not explaining it. You got to let Google know, hey, these are what we do. Like they'll list like the basic services, but they're not listing everything else they do. Oh, I'll talk to a company. I'm like, do you guys do this? Do you guys do that? Oh, yeah, we do that. Why doesn't it say that on your website, but yeah, to your point though, the user experience, man, that would be, really hitting it out of the ballpark is explaining to customers what you actually do, how you do it. So that way they feel comfortable. And then, it does save a phone call too. Oh, I read it on your website. I see the process, instead of them having to ask those 20 questions.
Yeah, it's like, you know, with a CPR class, like it's so vague. Like, okay, is there going to be a live person? Is there a dummy? Like, how long is it? How many sessions do I need to go to get certified? Like, you know, people kind of just forget the detail. And it's interesting, I was talking with my friend Michael McDougald, Right Thing Agency, about like vector embeddings, about content. And we were kind of t playing around with how describing what it is that you do in detail and how you do it well, like all of those things are this type of semantic things, semantic keyword matching and latent symmetry and vector embedding, like all of that's fancy computer talk for like talking in a straight line about what it is that you do. And it's funny that we have to get like SEOs invented all of this. You know, fancy reverse, you know, re reverse engineering of Google and like coming up with these models based off of the Google leaks, based off of the Yahoo leaks, based off of endpoint exploits to understand queries. And it come basically circles back around to like the LLMs break down the door. Google starts choking off results with these LLM AI powered overviews. And it basically comes down to like, are you selling? Are you defining your unique selling proposition at the bottom of the funnel? Like,
Yeah,
yes or no?
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. What's crazy is like I've seen it now where customers are actually starting to use the AI to try to find service providers. They'll go to chat and ChatGPT and they're like, okay, I need a water heater company in, Redlands, California. And they see, it will give them either one sometimes or sometimes it'll give them three different options. And it's crazy that the data that it pulls in to kind of figure out who's the best. But I know a lot of it does pull like reviews and stuff like that. And it's pretty amazing that customers are starting to actually use tools like that to find it. And I wonder where we're going to be. I'm sure it's going to eat into the search from Google eventually. And who knows? It probably already is on a such a small level. But think about it. Gosh, 3 to 4 years from now, how much is that going to eat into Google search? And what do we need to do as marketers to make sure that we're marketing for that? And still a lot of it is just creating a kick-ass company with good reviews and some basic SEO, because I know it does the AI is pulling information off your website as well, and it is serving it up.
I think that match is, I was laughing with Matt Brooks of Two Attack about, we're using bots to create content for bots to discover to bring back to humans. So there's like two humans at the end of the process where the searcher is using a bot to find content to prove it. And on the other side, we're using LLM-based programs to generate all of this content to then be available to the other bot, so it thinks it's relevant. And so like there's kind of like a double middleman now of LLM-based tools from both ends meeting in the middle, where at a certain point, we're going to have more agents. Where you're specifically asking them to, hey, book me a power washer, and it's going to run the whole process, call, send messages through contact forms to our sites, and those are going to be, more and more powered by LLMs. Like I used Lead Truffle, which is like a simple chat interface, and for my local service business that I'm helping promote. And it's just your name and phone number, and it starts a text message conversation. So if it fills out that and it starts a text message conversation from an LLM to an LLM and setting up a potential appointment, like without human involvement, like that's just like that kind of insanity. Like if you said that that was going to happen 10 years ago, that's science fiction. But
Right, absolutely.
It's happened in a few cases, and it's going to be happening more as we see the impact, in my opinion, of the diversity of search, because of people finally being able to break Google's monopoly. And I think where we're seeing it the most is the opening of Bing's index to ChatGPT, Perplexity, and other alternatives. So Microsoft is winning by breaking the back of the Google monopoly that gave us our SEO golden age, right? 2010 to 2020, SEO was ranking in Google. We were glorified Google reverse engineers. Now, since 2020, we're starting to have to redevelop those skills, in my opinion. We're
Yep.
having to redevelop because the promise that we got in, when does Siri come out? 2012? It's been crap for
Been a while,
13 years. But now ChatGPT enabled Siri, ChatGPT enabled browsers, ChatGPT, an LLM, Claude, some of the others. I think there were two new browsers that were announced and a new partnership that's enabling GPT for Siri. Now we're going to see, because those ecosystems don't loop in Google. They use Bing's index. And so now we're seeing, the next phase of the war between Apple and Google, and Google's losing ground, in my opinion. And they're also choking themselves to death with their AI overviews and force feeding everybody. So there's less and less reason, they're Goog enough results, as AJ Cohn said in his famous article a couple of years of like, oh yeah, these results are Goog enough. And like the sacrifice of search quality for the sake of something, I guess it's advertising revenue. The more they want, all of the meat from the publishers, but they don't want to pass on the clicks, and they've gone back on our devil's bargain. And so now there's no reason not to bargain with another devil, as an SEO.
Those AI results in Google, they can be really helpful depending on the query, but a lot of times, I don't know if you've noticed, it gets the information wrong and it's like very confusing. And just it really is very dependent on what you're searching. But I just know from my experience a few times, like I'll Google it, I'm like, wow, this isn't even accurate information. It's like I don't know where it's getting it from, but it's like hashing two pieces of information together or several pieces of information together, and it's not getting the actual facts right. And so sometimes I'm like, this is just a waste, It's misleading people.
Yeah, same thing. Like I was trying to order chords for my SNES Classic. It's like the little box. It looks like a small Super Nintendo, and but it has like these different USB cords called USB dash micro B. And I kept trying to Google USB micro B controller, and it would just give me regular USB stuff, and I couldn't find anything. Like I did like five or six different types of searches to try to find, sites or even e-commerce. First was the sponsored, which were inaccurate. Then I'd go to the sorted results for e-commerce, also not the right. They weren't even for controllers. They were just regular USB cords and not the right kind of USB cord. So I finally had to use Claude and said, "Hey, what type of cord does this SNES?" "Oh, it's the classic edition, and it uses the Wii U remote. So you need a Wii U. Here's two vendors that provide, controllers for emulators with the Micro B." I'm like, "Thank you." So like,
Wow.
even when I extensively used Google to find the answer, it was it. One, it was a messy space, but E is like, I can't get the. I know what the answer is, and if I order the wrong size USB, this is useless.
Right.
And
That's crazy.
like the search quality is just terrible. And it's you're right, like the AI overviews, depending on even the AI overviews on Google were useless. I had to go to Claude to get a useful answer.
Yeah.
Whew, it's a lot. As an SEO, now we're getting the secondary question. How do we rank in LLMs? How do we show up in ChatGPT? How do we show up in Perplexity?
Yeah.
And that
Yeah.
becomes the question of, do we fall down the same stairs again? Because the stairs that we fell down the first time were like, oh, the answer is obviously like a rank tracker. Like how, so we're seeing a renaissance of like a whole bunch of people racing to try to get brand sentiment, LLM, monitoring tools in the SaaS space.
Yeah, I
But
almost feel like it's the there it's right now it's very heavily on the sentiment. So it's like how many websites out there and obviously they probably I would assume that they would weigh like trusted websites a little bit more heavier, but definitely a sentiment and based off my experience that, on my research that I've done, and it's like yeah, this is the best because and it'll sometimes depending on which one you're using, it'll say like if you expand it, it'll say like why it's trusted more and it'll expand on like the reviews and it'll say, oh, they're listed on this site, they have this many reviews and some of their a lot of the reviews mention this. They'll be pulling like some of the information from the reviews and what it's actually mentioning as well. So I mean, does that mean that, we're gonna see like services popping up on Fiverr that people are just paying like, to list a bunch of, spammy reviews and create pages out there? I hope not, but it kind of feels like it's just pulling from a lot of the web pages out there and reading it and going from there.
so what you're doing local services like driveway pressure washing beyond the site, is there like thought in your head as far as like like multiple channels, like using social media or secondary sources? Like what's your way of thinking about marketing beyond just the Google SERP?
Yeah, so definitely social media is huge right now. I know lots of companies that do extremely well with TikTok and Instagram. And honestly, I feel like TikTok is huge. Like just setting up a tripod and showing where you're at and, at the end of the day, taking that footage and showing what you did and tagging it and talking about what your location was, that's huge right now. You could, be doing a job and Palm Springs, where you're, whether it be a commercial job or residential job, but, putting all that information in TikTok so it shows up and it's searchable. I mean, that is definitely huge now. And then, of course, the algorithms will, if somebody's in, Palm Springs area and, they'll get a lot more content for that area. So it's very important that, you're tagging it and that you're mentioning like where you're at and whatnot, because you're going to get a lot more views from your social media that way. and people are more apt to hire you if they've seen you on the social media. You're not just some faceless business. They're like, oh, I've seen your videos, you know. So that's going to be a huge part of our plan. And for me, I actually love YouTube. And I feel like there's a great way to, you know, help get extra links in the search results as well, if you're doing it right. You know, and it's kind of like doing the same thing, doing smaller videos for YouTube, but, you know, talking about your service, what you're specifically doing and where you're doing it at, and those things pop up in the search results phenomenally. You know, and so, you know, it might be hard sometimes to rank a web page for, you know, pressure washing in Los Angeles, but you do a video on YouTube about it, that thing pops up right away.
Thinking about that, there's two things that I want to say about that. One is remember that being since, I want to say 2008, Dwayne Forrester, when he still worked at Bing, acknowledged that social signals were an inherent part of the algorithm for Bing. And now Bing matters because half of the LLM-based search tools are strengthened if you're indexed. So step one is add the Index Now plugin if you're on WordPress. If you're not on WordPress, I think Wix has a plugin for Index Now. Squarespace, I think you can get a mod that uses Index Now, and it basically pushes your content to ensure it's like the opposite game. Like Google is constantly, I feel like, a constant whack-a-mole program of like, okay, which of my pages aren't in the Index Now for my site in Google Search Console? And it Bing, on the other hand, is like, give me all of the pages. Like
Hey.
it push it into my, get me everything, all sorted, you know, all sorted out. It's the kind of opposite problem. So like step one is, you know, using the Index Now part of Bing, but also like remembering social signals impact it. Impact your rankings, impact your indexation. So, you know, you got to have a bigger play than just your website now. You got to, you know, think about, is there a downloadable element that I can capture somebody's email or do a paid social that goes to a landing page where I'm capturing their email and actually have some sort of true value follow-up? You know, not like, you know, because it can go too far. Like you get somebody's, you put in your email and you get, you know, love sack message, you know, you like love sack's an alternative to
Right.
couches. Like my wife's like, oh, check into it. And I put in my email and I don't need a text message every other day about a love sack couch. Like, I'm
Right.
sorry. Like let's be smart about it. But also like, you know, grab your piece of the pie. Like there's still value in, you know, following up with emails that you gain. But also, it's also, you know, like double dipping into retargeting budgets. You know, that's how you kind of show up where they're at. You know, like Instagram is very notorious for, you know, like you look at one raccoon video and you're watching raccoon videos on the algorithm for the next week. So
Yeah, absolutely.
if you can get them to like look at a power
Look at the
washing
full.
video, then, you know, you want to be the one where your power washing video is showing up in their algorithm. They're like, you know what? I need a power wash on the side of my house. I guess I'll do that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and I think it was Google last week that just mentioned they came out and said, okay, we're going to start indexing Instagram for businesses. And that was a kind of a huge deal. So, you know, not for like your personal accounts, but they're going to start indexing. So, you know, same thing like TikTok. You know, if you're going out and doing something, mention what you're doing, mention where you're doing it at, and there's going to be a good chance you're going to show up in the SERPs there. And, you know, that's just another way to give your brand some more exposure.
You know, now that you mention it, I missed the announcement, but I just did an audit like 3 days ago, and I looked at the home, the branded SERP result, and in the screenshot, I was like, okay, here's your, you got branded result, you've got site links, you got a video box with the, you know, your Insta videos are showing up. It did not occur to me until this moment that you're right, like those came from their Google, their Insta business page, which previously it wasn't. It would only be from individual users. So,
Yeah.
That's
Super
new.
new. Super new.
I'm kind of happy because I've been posting a lot of my podcast stuff on Insta, just grabbing clips and stuff. So I'm happy about that for myself. But now I got to go back to the whiteboard, look at some clients. So I'd say, hey, you got a Instagram channel? Let's see what we can do. Grab
Yeah,
some
and
surf space.
it's hard for me too because we do have, like, in our family, we have some social media influencers, and I mean, we got some that just have crazy amounts of followers, and that's their job for a living, you know. And I've never, as an old school marketing SEO guy, like, I was never like the hugest fan of social media. Like, I know it's important, but man, it's just so hard pushing and going, okay. Let's create something that we have systems in place that we're going to do this, you know, going forward, like every other job type of thing. And, you know, because it's huge, it's important.
It is a generational thing because my kids, my girl, she's 12 now, my boy, he's 6. But just thinking about how, he's 6 and his future career isn't scientist, isn't NASA. He wants to be a YouTuber making Minecraft videos and making Minecraft mods. I'm like,
And he can.
and
It's crazy,
he
right?
can. He can't. I could literally help him be a Minecraft mod and I could give him a setup. I'm not going to because I don't believe in child exploitation, but at least for now, the market is big enough and the content demand is interesting enough and the cost value input opportunity is there that, there are unique opportunities and there's platforms that businesses should check out as far as checking what check I think it's something cat, Doja Cat maybe, of a platform that connects you with small dollar influencers who have a small load that are trying to get bigger and you can push your product or brand that way. So, there's new and interesting channels to kind of think about crossbreeding traditional SEO, and tying it in. And it all comes back to that value proposition too of what would you say you do here? And there are ways now to get that attention. I just did a killer interview. I haven't released it yet. He was an old school ad guy, and he said SEOs didn't like ads because it's a binary and it's not something that you have XYZ measurement or metrics or impressions. Is it working or is it not? You ran an ad and it was either working or not working. Because and we're getting to that point now of almost with SEO of it's either working or it's not working. It doesn't almost, with the disconnect between, the great disconnect in Google between impressions and clicks, it's is it working or not? Even if the metrics aren't there. It's
Yeah.
really hard to be a numbers-based metrics SEO marketing person at this moment because we got more black boxes than ever. We've
Oh,
got the
it's
social
huge.
media algorithm black box, we've got Google's black box, we've got the black box of LLM AI overviews, and we have zero visibility. We have input, something happens, and there's output. But we got so many inputs going into so many different, oblivion spaces where we're just looking at the output that it's becoming, more vibe marketing than ever.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. We got to think outside the box, and everything is so connected now.
I agree. And SEOs are not going to, you can't just do SEO anymore as a success and be
Yeah.
successful, I think. I think there is a niche need for super high ticket, high dollar tech SEO guys who, really can handle a multi-million URL site. But they're in a separate class. I was close to that class. I've dealt with hundreds of thousands and close to 1 million URLs, but that type of expertise, it's singular and it's not the
Oh man.
answer for the whole SEO industry. I think we have to get back to, embrace our roots, but also embrace cross channel and try to find ways to bring value to each different marketing method. With email, tying in what do you do with recurring visitors that you're driving, from an email marketing campaign. How are you managing that organic traffic? And how does what you're doing to capture search engine or creating content on the site match up with that? Thinking about the search function within your own site, like there's an optimization part and a management of the site, but also it's hard to think of search engine optimization. Like we have to diversify. It's not about calling ourselves GEOs or LLM SEOs or
Right.
AEIOUs. We just need to become better digital marketers, and we
Yeah.
should just focus on, hey, I do digital marketing. That's tying into search engine optimization, thinking about social media. Like that's where I think we need to head of like the singular, like single focus value of like, we can do the three things. We can write content, we can do technical SEO and build links. I think those days are gone.
Yeah, I agree with you. You
But at the same
definitely.
time, that's a backbone of what you need to do. Like it's funny because it's like you're right, what's old is new. Those things we absolutely need to do as a backbone of it, but also, yes, and I guess.
Yeah, for sure. You can't neglect the other, but it's all come full circle and it's all intertwined now.
Well, where can people find you? Where do you hang out? Give a shout out to, anything special happening with your business. I'll make sure to include stuff in the show notes, for you.
I just spend I'm a big Twitter person, so and I'm not out there tweeting a lot myself these days, but I feel like there's so much good knowledge on there. And what's crazy is like even stuff that you'll go through and stuff you were focusing on years ago and you're like, yeah, this is important, but maybe there's like a new twist on it, or people are like, just refreshing up your memory of like, hey, this is important and this is why it's important. That's what I love about Twitter. There's so much learning can be done on there and the connections and whatnot. So I'm usually on Twitter the most. But these days it's not like I was, 15 years ago where, I was hanging out every day. It's more of like, I might spend an hour or so on social media. I try to limit my time. And then I try to try to get out there and actually work in the business these days.
Awesome. I'll make sure there's links in the show notes for everything that you talked about. And thanks so much for your time, Chuck.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks, Jeremy.